Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
And so to do that, we will very quickly go to the Word and in reading the Word, as is our culture and our custom as a people, we will rise to our feet. And we will read two scriptures tonight. First off will be Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, media. If you're able to find it, we can go on ahead and read that. And we'll read it together as a congregation. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Father, we thank you for your words are infallible. The heavens and the earth would pass away, but not a jot or a tittle. Lord, in your words will by any means fall to the ground. We thank you because even tonight, Lord, you infuse our spirits with revelation and instruction. Let the whole counsel of heaven be delivered into our spirits. Let it affect our minds and let it lead and guide us in our mortal walk upon the earth. Let your name alone be exalted as all the glorious works that infuse from this indeed glorify your name. In the awesome name of Jesus. And amen. And you may be seated tonight. Hallelujah. And my conversations with you tonight will be on something that I have titled, and this is me doing a small play on words, The Life of Honor. The Life of Honor. The Life of Honor. While that's at face value would be generally alluding to living a life which makes honor part, parcel, and indeed a pivotal force in your engagement with all of the people and factors in life so that you deal with all of them in honor. Permit me to also add that I am actually making reference to the general overriding rewards that come as life because you honor. In other words, the resultant consequence of honor is life. And that's something that in all of our conversations around honor, a lot of times we sidestep because it falls in the it falls on that blind side of our driving and our navigations. The truth is that the way the Lord God had designed it, a very major fallout of the activity, the action, and the general lifestyle of honor is that it should bring life. So the children of Israel were transiting from Egypt. That's what we find in the backdrop of our conversations in Exodus. Leaving Egypt, leaving captivity, living that place where their lives generally had been made miserable because they had been brought under the rod of a rulership that the Lord did not intend to be theirs for an elongated period of time. And so after they had spent the time that they ought to, which was somewhere in the region of 400 years, the Lord raised a man, much like the way he would always raise a man amongst you, much like you, breathing like you, talking like you, subject to the same emotions, failures, and all of the other things that generally make you who you are as human, but one very much like you amongst you to be the one that would save them from the bondage. And guess what? When he showed up, because he looked like every one of them, it was difficult to identify that in that mortal being was salvation personified, and that was Moses, which literally meant, by interpretation of his name in Hebrew, drawn out, or saved, or salvation, by logical extension. And so the Lord brought them out of Egypt, like scripture would say, with a mighty hand. But they were now in transition, and they were heading to another place which they had never been to before. A location that was, to all intents and purposes, a strange land. Much like the Lord moving you from one level in life to another, much like the Lord moving you from one category of operation to another, much like the Lord changing your status. And as they were leaving, you know, one of the things that ordinarily would have thought would have made logical sense would have been for the Lord to give them a playbook in which there would be a typical, probably 21 laws of power, 6 rules of warfare, 7 tactical operations of survival, and all of that and all of that. But you see, God's wisdom is not the wisdom of man. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Just like the heavens are far removed, there so are my thoughts from your thoughts and my ways from your ways. So in the midst of the instructions he was giving them by way of the 10 commandments, he gave them a 5th one. And that is what we find in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And what was that 5th commandment? Honor your father and your mother. In other words, your progenitors, your forerunners, your father, which interprets to mean your source origo, the original source of your life, the one who started, as it were, the biological trail and history of your being, and now fused it with a carrier of life called the mother, who receives, who gives life, who multiplies, nurses, and nurtures, and in combination, both of them become the very embodiment of the loss of life for you. And he says, honor your father in his capacity, in his person, and in his office. Because the one thing we need to begin to understand as Christians is that parenthood, fatherhood, as much as it is embedded in a human being, is an office. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, it is. So he said, honor your father and your mother. And in beginning to define the reasons why he was asking them to do this, because with the Lord, there is cause and there is effect. So there is an instruction that he's giving you, but there is a resultant effect of obeying that instruction, or by default, not obeying that instruction. You know, a lot of us like to espouse, take, profess, confess all of the blessings. So you take a typical Deuteronomy chapter 8 and you profess all of the blessings there. Now, but in the midst of all the blessings that the Lord will ask that be yours, you will hear, nevertheless, if you do not obey the Lord your God, because there's always a caveat. There's always the part that would say, if you do not do. You must be careful. Thank you very much, media. Maybe we'll just look at it together, since this is School of the Spirit. Amen. Put it back up again. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord God swore to who? To your father. Hallelujah. Well, still coming back to that. So it says, honor your father and your mother. And he says, it is because of this honor that I am going to go out of my way to protect you and preserve you and give you life in the land which you are going into, which is fraught with a lot of danger, in which there are giants that are more experienced than you, in which there are factors of life stronger than you, in which there are vicissitudes of life that can destroy you in the twinkle of an eye. But he says, this is the reason why I will sustain you, I will keep you, I will preserve you. Not that you obey so much by way of a lot of things, but simply by honoring your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. Your days may be long. We'll still come back to that, but let's flip it to where Scripture now repeats it in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 1, 2, and 3. Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 6, 1, 2, 3, verse. Let's look at it together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'll move on straight to verse 2. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I'll leave all of that and just have us rub our minds on this, that it may be well with you, that it may be well with you. Now, the children of Israel in that scenario moving into a new land, were they going to have difficulties? Absolutely, they will. Will they have warfare? Plenty of it. Were they going to be faced by enemies? Yes, they will. Much like the call of Christianity or your life and walk with Christ, it is not necessarily a life that is going to be devoid of battles, but it's going to be a life in which you survive, you prevail, and you have victory despite the battles. So he says, in this life, you will have tribulation. Jesus himself speaking. But what is the guarantee? Guarantee. That is why it says the first commandment with promise. That is the promise. And what is the promise? That whatever it is that eventually you need to deal with, whatever difficulties eventually you're going to need to face, whatever enemies eventually it is that you're going to confront, that number one, you will survive. Tell your neighbor you will survive. Number two, that you will prevail. Go ahead and say to someone, you will prevail. And you will have victory. What is the promise that guarantees it? That you simply honor your father and your mother. It's amazing how the Lord takes amazingly powerful things and builds them into seemingly small things, as little as just an honor. Why are these conversations important? We're in an age and time where people have begun to think that what would determine the quality and quantum of life that you live is the volume of your knowledge. So, for instance, if you have become schooled in all of the very good diets that you should eat. And so these days, everybody has become a dietitian. Everybody has become a diet expert. All you need do is engage on any social media platform and you are literally smothered by a barrage of all sorts of information. And you even have age categorizations for it. So, for instance, you know, you would have the picture of you, a man, 25 to 35. If you want to build muscles like this, this is what you eat. You want to look buff and muscular, you eat that. If you're 45 to 50, this is what you eat. 50 to 60, you eat that. Amazing. All of them correct. I love them. Where people also begin to think that what is going to guarantee that you live well and live long is also where you live. While good quality of life is part of all of the promises of God, He is also able to preserve you wherever and however. So that you live in a gated, high echelon community should not give you a false sense of security and longevity. So long as I live here, I am protected, kept, and covered, and kept far away from the reach of Grinapa and Amroba. So people begin to build their faith on externalities. And as Christians, we sometimes also begin to think along those lines functionally and actively. However, as much as all of these physical factors are important and relevant, by any means, aspire for them. Eat well, I do. Do intermittent fasting, I do. And the results are obvious. Pastor V, they're obvious, aren't they? Trim tummy, you know. Wide shoulders, fine complexion. You know, you eat good, fine guy. Sometimes you just blow your trumpet a little. Haters can hate. Hug transformer around your area if you don't like it. Started from the bottom, now we're here. So we don't send. We're eating good, we're living good, and we're looking good. So by all means, eat well. Eat fun. If you can eat grass in the morning, apple in the night, all of that in the evening, beautiful. If you want to relocate to Aso Rock, where you are protected from all of these people, by any means, live there. But all of that do not by any means compare to a higher law, because people still die in the corridors of power. Oh, yes. People still eat amazing diets and still die. There is a reason why a certain gentleman wakes up at a time and tells a son, go out, prepare me venison. I want to bless you. In other words, bring me a very specific kind of honor, and in exchange for the honor, I want to bless you. And you begin to think he's going to sign out his will and apportion to him 6 plots of land in Independence layout, 2 plots of land in Maitama, and maybe 7 plots of land in Victoria Garden City. Absolutely not. He had no property to bequeath to him, as it were. All he had to speak to him were words. Words. It was so interesting that the words he spoke to him, after he had spoken the words, and his brother came in from the field, he said, is there no other words you can also speak to me? And he says, those ones that have gone out from my mouth, I cannot recall it. But let me search and see if there's any other thing that I can say to you. The words of a father spoken. Words, words, words. Words in response to honor. Why are those words important? Because those are the missing links. Because when you honor your father and your mother, you elicit action. And a lot of times, those actions are words spoken over you. A lot of times, those words are prayers made over you. A lot of times, those actions are words speaking in counsel and admonition. But all of them in totality have the power, the potency to attract the respect of divinity. And God will honor words spoken by a man to another man. So as simple as it would always look, you send something to your mother and she just makes a quiet, gentle prayer over the phone. And you think that by any means, that her small prayer, not in perfect British lingua, not in Cockney or Americana. She spoke it in Nguanese. She spoke it in Nkanunese. She spoke it in, where else? It's not necessarily the words. It is the person that is speaking the words. And it is not the language. It is the potency of intention that is conveyed in the words. So she says a simple, my daughter, it will be well with you. And she says it. But because you do not understand, you begin to search for a high, powerful prophet who is a doctor of prophecy. That is the one that will work. All I need is for the prophet to just prophesy. Absolutely good. Absolutely amazing. But there is a mysterious thing about God, that the most powerful things, he hides in the simplest things. So when Jesus was coming, they were awaiting a king that was going to be born in the courts and the corridors of power with all the pomp and pageantry. But the Lord hid him in a manger. And growing up, the Lord made him a carpenter. The one that was going to save the whole of the earth was just another person walking, another man talking. But in him was life. And this life became the light of men. It was so deceptive that scripture said, when he came to his own received him not. Which is why he now took the right of ownership, the certificate of occupancy that they had in Jesus, and spread it out and said, but as many as believe the words that were spoken, to them gave he what? Power. Believing is honoring. And what does he reward the honor with? He transmits power. And ladies and gentlemen, let me submit to you that if you live good and live long, you need power. And to as many as believed him, to them gave he power. To what? Become the sons of God. And that becoming is not a one-day thing. Let me explain it. And that is why it is a continuous activity. Become. In other words, in whatever circumstance you find yourself, you metamorphose to dominate in that situation. So the he, you that they saw today in one circumstance situation, because you have power functional in you, in another situation tomorrow, you have metamorphosed different from your function and operation yesterday to dominate a different situation. That is why Paul said, I have become all things to all men. In other words, I have become a dominant force in every single facet of life so that I might win some. And the winning some, what does he mean? So that in the communication of my power, people will see that there is honor laden in an earthen vessel which can affect my environment. But where does it start? Believing words. Believe your mother. Believe your father. Honor your father and your mother. By all means, honor them. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, if there is anything that has been subjected to the most attack in the family setting, it is parents-children relationship. Hallelujah. Yes, it is. So children now become rebellious. The devil, knowing that in their rebellion, he removes them from the covering of the power of parenthood. Absalom woke up one day. Fine guy. You need to see Absalom. I saw him in the pages of scripture. Scripture said that in Israel in those days, there was none like him. Oh yeah, read scripture. He was the very embodiment and personification of Mr. Israel. Fine guy tapping. Long hair. This is not Brazilian, Peruvian, Jamaican. The hair was 100% natural. In fact, read your scripture properly. Absalom was so fine that he said he was not going to allow women partake of this fineness. Like how? Like how? Which babe feet? Me. Oh, yes. So he said to himself, what I will do so that the people will correctly appreciate the depth, the width, and the intensity of my masculine fineness, I will erect a monument. And Absalom, while alive, erected a monument of himself. So he'll just wake up in the morning. Hey, this guy, fine boy. Call all the servants. Is there anybody you guys know that is finer than me? They'll say to him, no. So, who is the finest of them all? For those of you know, these days people don't go to nursery school. In our days, we went to nursery school, and there was this poem, Rapunzel, Rapunzel. Who is the finest of them all? Sorry, I didn't mean to insult you because I know your school was that Otakara that was near Obete main market. So they don't do Rapunzel. What they do is Abachada. It's okay. By any means, you're not disadvantaged. For those days, this one that used to look himself in the mirror and ask, who is the finest of them all? That was what Absalom did. And out of the overflow of his narcissism, he said, I'm going to become the king. I'm going to dethrone my father. And so Absalom actively engineered a rebellion against his father. David actually fled the throne, fled Israel, went into hiding for the second time in his life, the first being from a sitting reigning king, the second being from his own biological son, Absalom. And David went into hiding. Now, in the intensity of the civil war that ensued, David gave an order, being a man of mercy. He issued a command as king and said, if you find Absalom, deal gently with him. Do not kill him. Absolutely, he did. But guess what? As the battle became intense, because a man had dishonored his father, read your scripture properly. Scripture said that in that battle, more died from the warfare that the woods, the forest brought to his people than that were slain by the sword. In other words, that even nature itself fought against the man who dishonored his father. And guess what? In that ensuing scenario, what finally killed him? As he was even running, his own horse, Pastor Bidemi, his horse, did not see any other place to gallop through. He went and galloped near an oak tree. And his hair, that fine long hair, did not know to just stay low. The hair moved up. And there was one branch waiting for him. Coincidence? Absolutely none. Because scripture says, you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. The life of a man that dishonors his father. This is it. Then Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode on a mule. The mule went under. That's that thing I was saying, Pastor B. The mule on its own. You know, normally when you're riding a horse, you direct it. But what scripture is saying, that all of a sudden, the mule developed a mind of its own and went by itself under the thick boughs. So there were light boughs. Because if you walk in a forest, everywhere, some places are thick, some places are lighter. For those of you who have traversed in a forest, like me, I know some of you are town people. The only forest you have seen is the zinc house in your Obe. Some of us have been inside forest. Some parts are thick, some parts are lighter. Some parts are so thick that it's dark. This mule left those parts that there was light, entered the thick part that was dark, and made sure that it was a particular great terrain. I want you to see the design here. You see, the horse, the tree, everything conspired against a man because he dishonored his father. And his head was caught in the terebinth and he was left hanging. Oh, dishonor will always leave you hanging. What is hanging? Hanging means stranded. A man of dishonor would always be stranded. That is why the Lord said, honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you. Being well, like I explained earlier, did not mean that you will have an absence of contests, of warfare, of difficult situations, but that every time you get in, the Lord will make a way of escape. But a man in dishonor will always hang. He will be stranded, left without help, because nature itself will conspire with the heavens to fight him. And the mule, in other words, all of the physical things that he depended on. Let the mule represent for you money. The money went under and left him. Let the money represent friends and connections. Have you been in trouble before and you called some friends and their line was not going? They left you. They have left you behind. Left you. They have left you. Let the mule be powerful connections. Because you have one friend that is Supol, commander of Mopol. So you went to checkpoint. Instead of winding down, you just got there and said, officer, remove. Remove what? So the guy told you, okay, Oga, no vex, come down. Then you started to call because you were depending on the call. And the call is not going. And then you finally humble, say, bros, make we talk. They have left you. A man in dishonor, at those critical times in life, the physical things he depended on will fail him. Because there are times in your life when all the physical factors will fail. That is when God will remember honor and send you help from above. So that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. I challenge someone today. Is there a biological parent that you have broken relationships with? It's a time to reevaluate. It's not an ego thing. It's not a pride thing. It's life at stake. Honor your father and your mother. Is there a father figure, spiritual or otherwise, that you have not consciously and deliberately honored? Need to think again, reevaluate. It is not ego, it's not your certificate, it's not your qualifications, it's not the places that you've been to and the things you've done. It's about the life at stake. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land, in the places that the Lord is taking you to. I want for you to rise up to your feet tonight. He is able, more than able, handle anything that comes my way. And he is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able. Begin to speak to the Lord tonight and just begin to reevaluate every relationship, every parent relationship, father relationship, mother relationship, spiritual authority relationship that you have not honored. I want for you to just begin to make a conscious and deliberate decision of life and begin to determine that you will repair, that you will build, that you honor. Begin to determine yet again that you will take every blessing that the Lord has channeled through them to you by honor. That you will be a beneficiary of the blessings that the Lord has channeled through them. I want you to begin to make a commitment of honor tonight. Honor your father and your mother. In the words that you speak, in your conduct, in your giving. He is able. Yes, he is. Lead the fold.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Pastor Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log on to www.hotrenugump3.com. That is www.hotrenugump3.com to download. Truly, the word works.